Welcome to Shift Change, the Idaho Manufacturing Podcast. Over the course of about 20 minutes, we bring you conversations on AI, tech, and the future of Idaho manufacturing. Funding for this program comes from Total Care IT, your Idaho-based IT and cybersecurity partner for manufacturers.
Welcome to Shift Change, the Idaho Manufacturing Podcast. This is our deep dive into industrial resilience, and today our focus is really zeroed in on you, the executive leaders managing Idaho's industrial core. We're talking manufacturing, construction, engineering, critical infrastructure. Our mission today, it's about cutting through the usual security talk. We're looking at sources that argue pretty strongly, actually, for an immediate shift, moving from just awareness about cybersecurity to real enforced action. And the clock is ticking. We need to talk about getting this done before the holiday season, which, as we know, often brings a spike in cyber attacks, targeting facilities, and crucial supply chains.
That urgency is spot on. We're all familiar with the old model, right? October rolls around, Cybersecurity Awareness Month, CISA, NIST, DHS. They've pushed this for years. And look, it did establish a baseline, some fundamental understanding of online risks that was valuable.
But the core message we're seeing now from a lot of the material we've reviewed is that awareness. Well, it's necessary for culture, maybe, but it's failed as the main defense. The landscape has just shifted too dramatically. Awareness programs, they end up feeling like a compliance checkbox, not, you know, real resilience.
Okay, so let's unpack this a bit. If we've spent, what, two decades telling people, don't click that link, why isn't it working? Why this sudden push for action instead?
Well, a big part of it is that compliance trap you mentioned. Often these programs, they're just about proving you did the training, did everyone watch the video, pass the quiz. It becomes about documentation for an audit, not about genuinely changing how people behave day to day, especially long term. People forget generic advice pretty quickly.
Right. It doesn't stick.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And while we've been doing that, the attackers, they've gotten incredibly sophisticated. They're using machine speed now, generative AI. It's being used to write phishing emails that are, frankly, terrifyingly convincing, perfect grammar, the right context, very hard for the human eye to catch every time. So the AI writes a better email than the actual employee might.
Sometimes, yes. And AI is also being used to constantly probe networks, looking for those tiny openings faster than any human team could possibly keep up with.
Okay, so the whole idea of training every single user to be a perfect threat detector, that's kind of obsolete now. We can't expect humans to be the firewall against AI-driven attacks.
It's becoming an ineffective strategy, yeah. You can't rely on fallible humans as your last line of defense against that kind of speed and sophistication.
So where does the investment need to go then from an executive perspective? If it's not just more training, is it purely technical system-level changes?
It absolutely has to be system-level. The sources are really clear on this. Executive focus and budget needs to shift away from just educating the user and towards deploying actual technical guardrails. Guardrails that make it difficult or ideally impossible for a user's mistake, accidental or otherwise, to cause a major breach. It's about mitigating that inherent human error factor.
Makes sense.
And this whole problem is kind of amplified by that old weakest link idea. You know, if cybersecurity is seen as just the IT department's problem, then convenience is always going to win out for most employees. Sharing a password because it's easier, trying to bypass MFA because it's annoying, using some cloud service IT doesn't know about shadow IT. It all comes down to people trying to get their jobs done quickly.
And you can't really blame them for that, can you?
Not entirely, which is exactly why the technical controls, the system level defenses become indispensable. You take the burden off the individual user.
Okay, that clarifies the why really well. It's a shift from trusting the person to trusting the system, or rather, designing a system that contains inevitable mistakes. So that brings us to the urgency factor, the when. Why the big push to get this done before the holidays, especially for our industrial listeners?
Yeah, the timing is critical. Threat actors are strategic. They absolutely know that industrial plants, construction sites, critical infrastructure, they often run with lighter staffing during the holidays, November, December. Key people might be on vacation. Security teams could be stretched thin. It's an operational reality. And unfortunately, it creates a window of opportunity that attackers are very willing to exploit.
And we're not just talking hypotheticals here. This hits close to home, right here in Idaho. The data is pretty stark. December 2023, the Idaho National Laboratory, a major U.S. nuclear research facility, they had a data breach impacting something like 45,000 people. Employees, former employees, dependents. That's a serious incident right in our backyard, hitting critical infrastructure.
It's a really powerful local example. And it underscores that critical infrastructure is constantly in the crosshairs. Beyond INL, look at the pattern around the holidays just last year. November 2023, DP World, the global port operator, they got hit with a cyber attack that blocked thousands of shipping containers. For anyone here in manufacturing or logistics, you know what that means. Complete paralysis in the supply chain.
Huge impact. And these attacks aren't just generic data theft sometimes, are they? They're targeting the operational tech itself.
That's right. We saw specific attacks, again, around November 2023, targeting Unitronix PLCs, programmable logic controllers, in U.S. water facilities, no less. And these PLCs, these aren't your standard office computers. They're the specialized controllers running everything. Water systems, yes, but also the machinery on your factory floor, the presses, the automated lines.
Stuff that can cause physical disruption if compromised.
Exactly. They're often not secured like IT systems are, and hitting them can mean physical shutdown, damage, even safety risks. It's a different level of threat.
It goes up the chain, too. Engineering firms,
yeah.
Logistics tech.
Yep. We saw major engineering firms like Inglobal hit with ransomware, supply chain tech providers like Blue Yonder facing disruptions right before year end. It's consistent. Attackers are getting really good at using compromised credentials, especially from cloud platforms like M365 or Google Workspace, and they're directly targeting network gateways, firewalls, those traditional VPNs that so many businesses rely on.
So the pattern is clear. Sophisticated, fast, targeted attacks. We need defense that's built in, proactive, which I guess is why we're seeing this push from folks like TotalCare IT and their partners, framing it not just as Awareness Month, but as Cybersecurity Action Month.
Precisely. It's about moving beyond talk to tangible steps.
Okay, so let's get into those steps. If awareness isn't enough, what are the five key actions industrial executives should be taking right now based on this more unified, proactive approach?
The core technical idea is consolidation, moving away from, you know, having maybe a dozen or 15 different security tools that don't really talk to each other effectively. The goal is a unified platform for managing threat, risk, and compliance. Bringing together key capabilities, think SAES, EDR, SIM, MXDR, GRC, into one integrated defense system, like the approach TotalCare IT champions with Total.
Okay, consolidated defense. Makes sense. Let's start with what seems like the biggest entry point we keep hearing about.
Yeah.
Compromised credentials leading to things like business email compromise or BEC. What's action number one?
Action one is deploying identity threat detection and response, ITDR. So since most attacks really start with stolen or misused credentials, especially from M365 or Google Workspace accounts, ITDR provides constant 24/7 monitoring focused specifically on identity behavior. It's looking for weird logins, unusual access patterns, things that signal a compromised account, rather than just relying on someone having a complex password, which can still be stolen.
You mentioned earlier that managed extended detection and response MXDR teams can respond to BEC attempts in like 2 minutes on average. How is that even possible compared to traditional methods? That speed seems incredible.
That speed comes from the integration and automation within a unified platform. See, traditionally, a security alert fires. An analyst has to see it, pick it up, investigate it, figure out what's happening, then take manual action like blocking an IP or disabling an account. That whole process can take hours easily.
Right. Lots of steps, lots of potential delays.
Exactly. With a unified platform and MXDR, the moment the system detects a credible identity threat, say, an impossible travel login, it can often automatically take containment actions, block the session, isolate the device, disable the credential instantly. The human MXDR team gets alerted at the same time, but often they're just confirming the automated action or maybe doing some fine-tuning. The initial containment happens almost immediately. That's how you get to that 2-minute average response.
Okay, that's a massive difference. Moving from slow reaction to almost preemptive containment. Got it. So for action two, how do we deal with the network perimeter itself, those VPNs that attackers seem to love targeting?
Right. That's about reducing your attack surface. And the key technologies here are Secure Access Service Edge SaaS principles combined with Zero Trust Network Access, or ZTNA. This is super important for your audience, especially with remote sites, maybe construction projects, engineers traveling, contractors needing temporary access.
Yeah, lots of distributed workforces in these sectors.
Definitely. And traditional VPNs, they're often too permissive. Once an attacker gets through that VPN tunnel, they can frequently move laterally, exploring the entire network. It's like giving them the keys to the whole building once they pick the front door lock.
Not ideal.
Not at all. ZTNA changes that fundamentally. It operates on the principle of never trust, always verify. No user, no device is trusted by default, even if they're inside your main facility's network. Access is granted strictly on a need-to-know basis, only to the specific application or data required for that task, for that session. It effectively eliminates that lateral movement risk. If one device gets compromised, the damage is contained. It can't spread easily. And SaaS helps deliver this securely and efficiently wherever users are.
Okay, so much more granular control, better for remote access too, sounds like.
Yeah.
Let's move down to the device level, the endpoint, laptops, workstations, servers, action three. This is where things like ransomware often land, right?
Precisely. Endpoints are still a primary target for ransomware, sure, but also fileless malware, advanced persistent threats, the really nasty stuff. The Action 3 is moving beyond just basic antivirus. You need advanced endpoint security. That means endpoint detection and response, EDR, ideally combined with next-generation antivirus and GAV. These tools don't just rely on checking files against a list of known viruses.
How do they work differently then?
They use behavioral analysis and machine learning. They look at what processes are doing on the endpoint. Is this program trying to encrypt files rapidly? Is it trying to connect to known malicious servers? Is it behaving like malware, even if its signature isn't recognized yet? This behavioral approach catches much more, including zero-day threats. And it's way more efficient. We hear from partners that they see something like an 81% reduction in false positives with good EDR and GAV.
81% fewer false alarms. I imagine that's huge for lean IT teams in manufacturing or construction. They're not chasing ghosts all day.
Exactly. Less noise means they can focus their limited time on real issues, on keeping operations running smoothly, minimizing actual downtime. It's a big operational win.
Okay, so we have better identity protection with ITDR, a tighter perimeter with ZDNS/OSI, smarter endpoint defense with EDR and GAV. But how do we make sure all these pieces are working together? How do we avoid blind spots between them?
That brings us directly to action four, achieving unified visibility through a centralized SIEM, security information and event management platform. If you have fragmented tools, one thing watching the network, another watching endpoints, something else for cloud, you inevitably get blind spots. It's almost impossible to manage risk effectively or prove compliance when your data is scattered everywhere. Especially in complex environments, mixing IT and OT, operational technology.
Yeah, the OT side adds another layer of complexity.
Absolutely. So a modern unified SIEM pulls in security data from everywhere, endpoints, network devices, cloud services, identity systems, even OT sensors if configured correctly. It puts it all into a single view, a single pane of glass. And it uses analytics to spot anomalies and correlate events across these different sources in real time. The improvement is dramatic. Partners consolidating onto a unified platform report, on average, a 99% improvement in overall security visibility. When you can actually see what's happening everywhere, you can start to properly manage the risk.
99% visibility improvement. That's almost total clarity. Okay, one more action. Action five. This one feels crucial given the increasing regulations, especially for anyone working with, say, the DoD or handling sensitive data.
Yes. Action five is strengthening your security posture and your compliance footing using GRC. Governance, risk, and compliance management. The regulatory landscape is getting tougher. Whether it's CMMC for defense contractors, NIST CSF, which is best practice for critical infrastructure, or PCI DSS for payment card processing, regulators demand proof. Documented evidence that you have controls in place and they're working.
Proof, not promises, as the saying goes.
Exactly. A GRC module integrated into that unified security platform helps automate this. It maps the security activities being performed by the ITDR, EDR, ZTNA, SIEM. It maps them directly to specific regulatory requirements. So when an auditor asks, show me how you're managing endpoint risk according to NIST, you have audit-ready reports generated automatically. It takes away a huge amount of manual effort and ensures you can demonstrate due diligence consistently.
Okay, so stepping back and looking at all five actions, what's the big picture takeaway for an executive? What does this shift to action really mean for their business, for the bottom line?
It fundamentally shifts the executive focus. Instead of primarily investing in hoping employees won't make a mistake after some training, you're investing in technical systems that actively prevent those mistakes from causing catastrophic damage and disruption. You're enforcing security, not just suggesting it.
And there's an efficiency angle too, right? You mentioned consolidation.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a huge efficiency win. Moving to a unified platform dramatically cuts down complexity. Fewer dashboards to check, fewer tools to manage and integrate, fewer vendors to deal with. The data we see suggests organizations making this consolidation cut their number of security products by around 50%. 50%. And that translates directly into time savings. Partners often report reclaiming about 15 hours per week of IT and security team time previously spent just managing disparate tools and chasing down alerts across different systems.
15 hours a week. That's almost half a full-time position back, time that lean industrial IT teams could spend on, well, supporting production, improving facility tech, innovation.
Exactly. Instead of just fighting fires and managing security tool sprawl, they can focus on enabling the business. That's a tangible bottom line benefit. And culturally, this ties into the zero trust model that underpins many of these actions. Zero trust isn't about blaming users. It's not saying we don't trust you. It's about acknowledging that mistakes happen, credentials get stolen, and we need an automated safety net. Awareness training might have opened the door, started the conversation about security, but action things like implementing strong phishing-resistant authentication like FIDO2 keys, using these unified technical controls, having a policy where people feel safe reporting a potential issue without blame, that's the essential follow-through. That's what builds real organizational resilience and keeps your operations running.
So wrapping this up, for everyone listening, especially leading Idaho's critical manufacturing and infrastructure sectors where downtime is incredibly costly, the question really becomes, what single concrete action will you take this week? Not just planning more awareness training, but what structural change, what technical step forward will you initiate to move beyond just awareness and ensure your systems, your facilities, your networks are genuinely ready before that predictable holiday season spike in attacks arrives?
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of Shift Change. To learn more about using AI in your manufacturing business, reach out to Total Care IT, your Idaho-based IT and cybersecurity partner for manufacturers.